Lots going on in the church these days. We did have such a great time at our newcomer meet and greet. It's amazing how many new people are coming to the church these days and how they're finding us. And if you're here this morning for the first time, we're really grateful to have you with us. We trust that you're being blessed and will be blessed through all that takes place here. Well, my name is Joel Wells. I'm the lead pastor here at Harvest City Church, and I get to share the word of God with you this morning. 2 weeks ago, I started a series of messages with you to focus our attention on the vision that we have as a church. The phrase, live your call, encapsulates our vision, and it's built on three pillars: giving hope, transforming lives, inspiring action. We are convinced that God is not looking for spectators in his kingdom, but he's looking for active participants. So in the first message, I open by sharing with you the big picture of the calling that you have received from God. The calling was initiated before the world was created and we were even born. The calling was so incredible that it lifted us from a lowly place and seated us with Christ in the heavenly realms. The calling is so magnificent that the Apostle Paul confessed that we have a hard time even comprehending it with the limits of our humanity. As a result of all this, Paul begged us in Ephesians 4:1 to lead a life worthy of the calling that we have received. It's understanding our calling that leads us to a purpose-driven life. And when Paul was describing our calling in Ephesians, he prayed these words in chapter 1, verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Part of living our call is understanding that we have a hope in Jesus. Anatoly did a great job last week talking about this as he looked at the first pillar of our vision, giving hope. Anatoly showed us what biblical hope looks like. And he ended with the amazing story from Scripture of a broken woman who encountered Jesus, discovered a hope that does not disappoint, a living water that quenched her thirsty soul. And as that hope welled up within her, she became an agent of hope to others, and he challenged us as a congregation to be the same. Well, that brings us to the second pillar, transforming lives, that I want to talk about today. You see, as we discover the hope of God in our brokenness, we begin to see that by his resurrection power, he can bring transformation to our lives. And the message that I want to continually ring out from this pulpit and wherever we go is that no matter who you are or what you have done or what your circumstances are, there is hope because of the saving power of Jesus Christ. And that power gives us the ability to be transformed. And today I want to look at three aspects of transformation. The first one is this. Transformation starts with understanding two missions. When you read the scriptures, it's clear from the first book of the Bible until the last that the devil has a mission that he's trying to accomplish. It's also clear that Jesus has a mission as well. And these two missions, they could not be more opposite in their purpose. And Jesus spoke clearly about the difference in the Gospel of John. In chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus, talking about the devil, says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. You see, as much as I believe in God, and I believe in God with all my heart, I believe that there is a devil as well. His evil fingerprints are everywhere. And we see them in the pain, in the suffering, and the brokenness all around us. He's a thief and he's a liar. And he deceived man in the very beginning of creation to disobey God. And that disobedience ushered sin into the world along with all its disastrous consequences. Man's relationship with God was severed in that moment. And we became slaves to the enemy of our souls. Our very natures became sinful. The seeds of sin are inside us from birth, and we act as a result out of our brokenness, and we experience the brokenness of others as well. And the results are emotional pain, physical pain, and spiritual pain. And so there is this yearning for deliverance and healing, a yearning for meaning and purpose and salvation within humanity. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in Romans 8:22 when he said, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." There is a groaning within man for salvation, for deliverance, for healing, for hope, for purpose. And without a Savior, there was no way to be free from the grips of the evil one, and an eternity of judgment awaited. What a state we were in until God, in his great love and mercy, provided a way of salvation by sending his son Jesus with a different mission. His mission was to bring life to that which is dead. Jesus said that his mission was to seek and to save those who were lost. In 1 John 3 verse 8, it says, "When people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil." That was his mission. The devil has a mission to destroy you. But the mission of Jesus is to destroy him and to rescue us from his grip. Paul summarized all of this in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 when he said, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world." Paul describes the devil like a puppet master behind the scenes. He's the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ Jesus. Amen. The destruction of the devil was accomplished on the cross of Calvary by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says on the cross he made a public spectacle of him. In Ephesians 1, 7, Paul writes, "He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins." And so because our freedom has been purchased, transformation is now possible. Before receiving salvation, we used to follow the passionate desires and inclinations that our sinful nature produced. But now there is a new presence inside of us, the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit within us is at war with our sinful natures, and is leading us to the path of freedom and empowering us to break off every chain and blow through every stronghold that has limited and controlled us. If you don't understand these two missions, you will never experience the transformation that Jesus can bring. And truthfully, you may not even realize you need it. Remember, the devil's a liar and he's a deceiver. And so he is a master at twisting the truth and even distorting what is good and what is evil. Isaiah prophesied about this very thing in Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20. "What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil. That dark is light and light is dark. That bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever. There is a sorrow for those who've been deceived on what is bitter and what is sweet, what is good and what is evil. Solomon warned of this in Proverbs 14:12, that there is a way that appears right, but in the end, it leads to death. The point is this. If you don't understand that living a life under the power of the devil is destroying you, if you don't understand that living a life outside of God's will and standard of righteousness, if you don't understand that that is keeping you bound, you will never run from what you should run from and seek what you should seek. You can't live God's call for your life while living for the devil at the same time. You can't. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, how can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? And the answer is obvious. There is no partnership. There can be no harmony. They are opposite in their mission. Everything the devil does is evil. There's no good in him. His mission is destruction. But everything God does is good. His mission is to bring life. You see, one of the great tactics of the enemy is to make evil look good or to minimize the consequences of it. But make no mistake, he is on a mission of destruction. It's why Peter said, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. When I understand clearly these two missions, I begin to see clearly that everything in my life that's not godly, it needs to go. It needs to go. Not because I'm trying to earn God's love and acceptance. I already have that as a child of God through salvation in Jesus. But because I don't want the enemy to have any hold on me. I don't want him to rob from me any longer. I don't want to live under his slavery. I want to be free from every habit, from every way of thinking, from every lie that hurts me, limits me, and destroys me. I want to walk in the fullness of joy, in the fullness of peace, in the fullness of the goodness of God. I want to live in the blessing of the kingdom of heaven and be free from the pain of the kingdom of darkness. When Paul talked about living in a manner worthy of the calling that we've received in Ephesians chapter 4, from that point on in Ephesians, he begins to describe what it looks like to live in a manner worthy of the calling. And what he speaks to sums up what I've been saying. Let me read to you from Ephesians 5. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you're his dear children. Live a life filled with love. Follow the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us. It was a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God and of Christ. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on those who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness. But now you have the light of the Lord. So live as people of the light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Can you hear Paul pleading? You've been rescued from this. Come on. Don't go back there. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil. It's worthless. They're worthless. Instead, expose them. And he goes on. Paul is adamant. Why would you have any part in that which God rescued you from? Don't mess around with it. Be diligent in living as children of the light. There's a great quote that I've heard many times that goes like this. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. He loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. We can come to God dirty. We can come to God broken. His arms will always be wide open. His mercy is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Nothing can separate us from his love. But because of his love, he's placed his Holy Spirit inside of us, which will always be leading us to say yes to the light and no to evil. God wants us completely free from the destructive grip of the devil. He wants us fully alive in him. When you understand the two kingdoms, when you understand the two missions and what you've been saved from and what you've been saved to, there should come from within this passionate desire, God, I want to be transformed in every part of my life. I don't want any hooks in me that the devil can get on me. Which leads me to my second point. Transformation is a complete internal rewiring. A complete internal rewiring. In the book of Romans, Paul spends the first two-thirds of the book describing the depravity of man under the power of the devil, and then the incredible salvation, sonship, and inheritance we've received through Jesus Christ. But in Romans 12, he begins to shift and he starts talking about the transformation that Christ wants to bring into our lives. And he says in verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And there are several things that this verse indicates. One is that the behaviors and customs of this world are not in alignment with God's will. God's will is often completely countercultural to this world's. The way you think under the value system of the kingdom of God is completely different than the way you think under the value system of the kingdom of darkness. The desires of the flesh are not what the spirit desires. So in order to know God's will, which is good, pleasing, and perfect, there has to be within us a conscious choice to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Notice the phrase where Paul says, let God transform you. You gotta let him. Let him transform you. The Holy Spirit within us will always be urging you, provoking you, and leading you towards the light. But your flesh will always be opposing the leading. Your pride, you will always want to rise up in defiance. No. It's through humility that you came to Christ for salvation. And it's through humility that you surrender every day to the Holy Spirit's leading in your life. The degree to which you surrender is the degree to which you can walk in freedom from the fingers of the enemy. Jesus said, if you want to find your life, you got to lose your life. The life of the kingdom is found in the letting go. In order to experience freedom, there has to be a desire and a willingness to ask the question, Lord, how do you want me to think? How do you want me to think? If my transformation requires a change in thinking, how do you want me to think? What is true? What is your will? What does your word say? And then there has to be a willingness to submit to whatever that is. As we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and his word to redefine what is truth, transformation begins to take place. This word here that Paul uses in Romans for transformation in the Greek language has the same idea as the word metamorphosis, like from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And here's the picture. As you begin to think the way God thinks and act the way he calls you to act and value what he values, you go from crawling to soaring, from limitation to freedom. And there is a beauty that comes into your life as a result. I want to say here that transformation is really the result of the decision to become more than just a fan of Jesus Christ, but to become a true disciple. There are many fans of Jesus, but far less who truly follow. There are many who love to hear about his mercy and grace, but far fewer who want to change their ways. And this is why my first point this morning was so important. If you don't see that true freedom is found from fleeing from the ways of this world, which are rotten to the core from sin, you won't be willing to let it go. If you don't believe that true life is found in Jesus, you won't embrace what he's calling you to, and you won't let go of that which he's asking you to lay aside. You won't be able to live your call. Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned in order to get enough money to buy that field." If you were a friend of this guy and saw him sell all he owned to buy that field, you would probably think, this guy is nuts. But there was a treasure in the field that he saw that nobody else knew about. And it made everything else in his life lose its value in comparison. And Jesus said, that's the kingdom of heaven. Can you see what Jesus is calling you to? The world will think you're nuts. But when you think in line with the kingdom of God, what's important, what's desirable, what's valuable, what has meaning, what has purpose, all those things dramatically change. There's a complete rewiring that begins to happen. On Wednesday night of this past week, I had a sweet video call to Vietnam that inspired me and touched my heart. I was talking with our global impact partners, Doug and Kim Paradise. I hadn't chatted with them for a long time. And I needed to call them to find out what they've been up to. And also there had been some issues with money not being used that we had set aside for them. And I needed to sort of figure out what's going on. Now, some of you know Doug's story. Doug had a radical conversion experience, I think, in the 70s when he found Jesus. It's an amazing story. And when Doug found Jesus, he found a treasure in the field. And this resulted in Doug literally moving to Asia. He was one of the first missionaries into Vietnam after the Vietnam War. He's lived now over half of his life in Asia. He ministered in the middle of the war in Cambodia to soldiers with bombs and everything going off around him. He ministered to the underground church in Vietnam when church meetings were illegal. Climbed the mountains of Nepal to bring the gospel to places where the gospel hadn't yet reached. And on I could go. And today, I can tell you that Doug has very little resources on this earth. But I want to tell you something. He's rich. He's rich. Today, he's in his late 70s. And Parkinson's disease is taking over his body. He can't walk without help. He can't speak without slurring. His memory isn't as sharp as it used to be. And he has his amazing Vietnamese wife, Kim, who helps him get around and walk and dresses him and helps him to communicate. So Doug's retired, right? Wrong. He won't retire until he's in the grave. Last week, he told me I spoke to over 150 people in Myanmar over Zoom. Kim says sometimes he gets his stories a little mixed up, but I know the stories. I know what he's trying to say. He still speaks over Zoom to churches around Vietnam and Nepal, although he's quite frustrated with the Wi-Fi in Nepal. It's not easy to preach over Zoom, but he pushes through it. He does still speak in person in some places in Vietnam, but he told me they literally carry me and set me in a chair into the pulpit. Takes three or four guys to lift me up and place me in the chair so I can preach. He said to me, I asked them, why do you want me to preach when there's younger guys who can do it better than me? But he said, they say to me, because you have a fire they don't have. He said, Joel, here's the amazing thing. Despite my weakness, the anointing still works. It still flows. We were talking about some of the issues we have getting our global impact money to him right now, because the truth is he doesn't get out to the bank and some of these things, and he's trying to figure it out. Now Kim's got to learn some of the stuff that Doug used to do. And truthfully, he didn't even realize that we have money for him to contribute to the church plants in Nepal. So I was like, why aren't you, are you not using this anymore? And he said, I didn't even know that we had it. And we've been have a separate account where we've helped him monthly with his personal expenses, and he's been getting that. And he said, I've just been using that to fund the church plants in Nepal. He was grateful to know we have money ready for him to use. I had a blast talking to Doug. I didn't know whether to weep. I didn't know whether to rejoice. I just felt, told my dad, I felt like I was in the presence of an angel. I felt like I got to sit down with one of the saints. He's still full of joy. He still has purpose. He's alive even as his body is dying and betraying him. The things of this world mean nothing to him. I think the world would think he's nuts. But Doug has been rewired. When he found Jesus and got transformed, there was a complete internal rewiring that took place. And I want to tell you this morning, he's free. I want what Doug has. My third and final point this morning is this. Transformation is a process. I wish I could tell you that in the moment you surrender to Jesus and make him the Lord of your life, that all your sin habits will end, all your attitudes and desires will perfectly reflect your Heavenly Father from that moment on, and your wife will say to you, I think I've married Jesus. I wish I could tell you that. There's a day coming in eternity where there will be a full transformation. When we exchange this broken body of sin for the new bodies of the heavenly kingdom. I can't wait for that day. The death and resurrection of Jesus accomplished our salvation, but the fullness of that victory will be realized in eternity. For now, we live in what I call the messy middle. His Holy Spirit lives inside of us. It gives us the grace to say no to sin and yes to righteousness, but that sinful nature still remains within us. When we fail to yield to the Holy Spirit, we walk according to that sinful nature, the flesh. Any person who desires the life of the Spirit knows the frustration from the struggle with the flesh that rages within. My experience is this, that many times when people come to Christ, their testimony is this: when I made Jesus my Savior, some things just fell right off of me and I had no desire again. But then there are these other things that didn't just fall right off of me. And every day it's been a struggle of surrender and wrestle in order to live in the freedom that Jesus purchased for me. Sometimes it's two steps forward and one step back. And so the transformation process involves humility, confession, and repentance. Repeat. It involves the decision to keep moving forward and keep getting up when we fall. Proverbs 24:16 says, "The godly may trip seven times, but they get up again." They keep going. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:17, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." So all of us who've had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we're changed into His glorious image. Notice that it is the Holy Spirit at work within us that changes us. And it's clear here that the process is an ongoing work. That word change could also be translated transformed. It means the same. You know, sometimes we try and will ourselves to change. I've tried that. It doesn't work. It's only the Holy Spirit who can change us and transform us. Only He can accomplish it. But as we saw earlier in Romans 2, when it says, "Let God transform you," there is a part that we play by willingly surrendering to the Lord. Our response to the Spirit is key. Let me illustrate it in this way. At our conversion, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us like a river of life. Remember that song? "I've got a river of life flowing." Okay, I'll stop. Back to the 80s. Did you know I used to record my dad on for a TV channel, and his show was called Rivers of Life? I was part of the production when I was about 8 years old in the living room of our house. Anyways, that's a total tangent. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us like a river of life. The flow of that river is taking us to freedom, to transformation, to the life God has for us. But we can resist it. We can try and swim against the current. We can try and get out of the flow. We can even try and build a dam and block the current. And we do this through pride, through neglect, through compromise. Or we can embrace the river. We can say, "I got this river of life flowing inside of me. I'm building the raft. I'm putting up a sail." We can surrender to where the current is taking us. And my exhortation this morning is that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is within you, and He's leading us to transformation. So go with the flow. Go with the flow. David wrote in Psalm 37:4, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desire." You know, some people think this verse means if I delight myself in the Lord, He'll give me the big house I want or make me rich. But here's the truth. As we take delight in the Lord, which implies action, intention on our part, which means purposely seeking His face and His ways, He actually begins to change what we desire until our desires reflect His. My will becomes conformed to His will. His thoughts become my thoughts. His desires become my desires. You can't change yourself, church, but you can make a decision to seek the Lord's. You can study His word. You can humble yourself. You can repent. You can pray, seek prayer. You can worship. You can draw near to God's. All those things are putting up a sail and surrender to the river. And you'll be amazed at where God takes you. You'll begin to see habits falling off, attitudes changing, peace replacing fear, joy rising, purpose igniting. Church, as you begin to see what God has rescued you from and the freedom that he wants to bring you, as you allow him to rewire you on the inside, as you embrace the river of the Spirit, you will find yourself being transformed into the image of his Son. And as this transformation takes place, you will find yourself living in the fullness of your calling and equipped to take action as an agent of transformation and an agent of hope for others as well. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Next week, Pastor Jason Bandura is going to tackle this whole idea of our third pillar of inspiring action. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. If that's you, I want to tell you, you're under the grip of the enemy of your souls. Your eternity is a destruction, judgment, hell. The enemy wants to destroy you, kill you, rob you. His goal is that you would spend eternity with him. But God so loved you that he sent his Son Jesus to rescue you from the grips of the evil one. He so loved you that he sent his Son to die on the cross for you, to forgive you of your sins, to restore your relationship with the living, with your heavenly Father, to give you a hope and a future and an eternity with him. And you can receive his salvation. You can start the transformation process by humbling yourself and confessing your need for a Savior. The Bible says if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, you will be saved. The moment you confess your need of Jesus and say, Jesus, I need a Savior, I place my trust in you, at that very moment, he comes and he places his Holy Spirit inside of you. And you become a son and a daughter of the Most High God. It's the greatest news on earth. It's the good news of the gospel. And so this morning, I've shared the gospel with you. And I want to give you an opportunity right here and right now to respond to the Holy Spirit. If that's you, I believe even as I've been preaching and sharing, the Holy Spirit is already tugging on you. Come on, surrender your life to Jesus. Come on, let go of the things of this world. God is calling for you. So I want every one of us to just bow our heads this morning and as I lead in this prayer of salvation. And I want to give you an opportunity to pray this prayer with me this morning and receive Jesus as your Savior. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to ask you to just raise your hand where I can see it and where God can see it. Are you here this morning and say, Pastor, I need you to pray that prayer of salvation for me. Thank you. Is there any other hands here this morning? I see a few hands. Awesome. Right to the back. Yeah, there's hands. Different parts of this room. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. As I pray this prayer, you make this your prayer to God. It's not so much the words, it's what's going on in your heart. God sees into your heart. Jesus, I come before you this morning recognizing that I'm under the clutches of sin. I'm under the rule of the enemy of my souls, and I want to be free. I see the sinfulness within me. I see this wretchedness within me. and I want to be washed, and I want to be cleansed, and I want to be free from these things. I want to have relationship with my Heavenly Father. I want to be forgiven. I want eternity apart from you. And I thank you that when there was no way, you came and made a way. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. And this morning, I choose to put my trust in you, to lean into what you did for me on that cross 2,000 years ago. Today, I make the choice to let go of my old life. I want the life you have for me. Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me. I thank you for your great love for me, and I receive it this morning by faith. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Be the master of my life. Put your Holy Spirit within inside me and give me the power to become like you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, if you prayed with me this morning, I have this little pocket New Testament. It's called the New Believer's Bible. It's the New Testament. It's a neat little book. It's tiny. You can stick it in your pocket. Love to give that to you. Also have a little booklet here that says, Now What? A guidebook for new Christians. If you're going, I prayed that prayer, Pastor, but I really don't even know what it means to be a Christian. I felt the Holy Spirit stirring inside of me, but I'm not even sure exactly what's going on. Come get that little booklet. Come just to our connect window as you leave. Just all you have to say is, I prayed with the pastor this morning. He said you got a pocket New Testament there for me and a little booklet. I'd love to have that. We'll give it to you free of charge. Are you blessed, church? Have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll see you next week. Have a great day.
Hey everyone, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We hope you enjoyed it and found something that spoke to you or blessed you in some way. That really is the heart of Harvest City Church, that you'd take what you've heard, learned, or experienced here, and then go out and share that good news with others. So go ahead and post this video to your page, start conversations, and who knows the lives that God could transform through it. If we can support you in some way in this season, please let us know. Maybe you've decided to dedicate your life fully to Jesus. We want to hear about it and celebrate with you and help you in those first steps. Connecting in to share the joys and the struggles of life is why we're here. Finding community is super important too, so if you're wondering about any of our programs for kids, youth, or adults, just reach out to us by phone or at the link below and we'll be in touch. To all of those who are partnering financially with us, thank you for your investment into the kingdom of God. It allows us to do what he's calling us to and reach even more people. For more info on that, go over to harvestconnect.ca/give. If you haven't already, be sure to check out our live stream chat area at harvestconnect.ca/live. It's a great place for interaction, commenting, prayer with our online hosts, and more. And don't forget to like and subscribe to our social pages and all that good stuff too. Take care. Keep living your call, and we'll see you again real soon.